This is Dave Gahary reporting on the corner of Wall and Fraud. Many years ago, when the stock market boom and craze was running unabated, a new breed of promoters had entered the arena of Wall Street, the Internet stock tout. With the popularity of the Internet and online stock trading reaching a fevered pitch, every Tom, Dick, and Harriet had an audience of thousands, perhaps millions, of quote-unquote investors looking to strike it rich. Many so-called internet stock touts or hypesters posted thousands of messages on online message boards for the purpose of seeing their stocks rise. One such fella, 13-year-old John Lebed of Cedar Grove, New Jersey, seemed to have found his niche. He took a few thousand dollars and turned it into over $800,000 in a few years. Alongside the internet, television promotion of stocks was also screaming along with an impact much greater than the relatively new medium could ever wish for. Stock touts from all the major brokerage houses were having a field day on all the major networks, especially CNBC. That was okay. But the SEC wanted John Lebed, and they got him. We're joined on the line with John Lebed. John, you out there?
Yeah, what's up, Dave?
Not much. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Okay, we want to talk a little bit about your story, about how you were, 13 years old when you started doing this?
Yes, I was 13 years old when I started investing. I won a CNBC student stock tournament with thousands of teams across the country. And then I started researching companies on the internet, and I started learning about companies by myself by reading message boards on the internet. And this was all when I was 13 years old, and I don't know how I ever got there, but that's what happened, and that's how I turned out to what I'm doing now.
Right, so you actually started at the age of 13,
yeah.
And you always had a fondness for stocks, and you were actually contacted, well, at least the Securities and Exchange Commission, they called your mom and dad when you were 13, and they asked you to be careful, didn't they?
Yeah, I would be on the internet, and I owned some shares of several different penny stocks, and these penny stocks were being run by really boiler room operations by these criminals, and I didn't really know any better.
Well, wait a second. Let's slow down a bit here. What's a penny stock?
A penny stock is really a company that's just very small on the over-the-counter bulletin board.
Okay,
very volatile.
Okay, so penny stock is defined as a stock that actually trades below $5. But for the purposes here, these stocks were actually trading in the penny area. Right?
Exactly.
And they were thinly traded, which means that there weren't many shares traded.
Yeah, and they really interested me because I thought that by looking at the penny stocks, I could find something that would be the next McDonald's or the next Microsoft if I looked hard enough.
Right. So you actually did your research, you went on the internet, studied, and you even called up some of these companies and spoke with the CEOs, didn't you?
Yeah, I called up the companies, and even when I was only 14 years old, I would go to different types of events, like a cigar smokeout that a cigar company I invested in had in on Wall Street, and I would go 14 years old to these companies and deal with these companies and learn about them.
And how old are you now?
18 now.
You're 18. Okay. So we're going back, let's say, 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the internet stock boom and craze was in, like I said, in a fevered pitch.
Yeah.
And alongside you touting these and hyping these stocks on the internet, there were thousands of other players, weren't there?
Well, everybody was, really. I guess that's what the whole, these message boards, that's all people do is hype stocks and bash stocks. And it really is the same way right now. There's not as many people in the game right now. Most people lost their money, but back then there definitely were many people out there hyping their investments all across the internet.
Right, and of course at the same time, professional stock hypesters wearing suits and ties, expensive suits and ties, from J.P. Morgan, from Morgan Stanley, from Goldman Sachs, from Merrill Lynch, all these big firms, they got to go on television and hype these stocks. Isn't that right?
Yeah, but that's perfectly fine for them to do. They have their suit and they work on Wall Street. You know, it's perfectly fine.
You should have gotten a suit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, of course, you would have been behind, you know, your computer typing along, you know, your keyboard with a suit, but that might have helped.
But I was only 14, so I couldn't get a suit
you
and
didn't
work on Wall Street.
Right. Yeah. Well, tell me, how much money did you start out with?
I started out with only less than, you know, $8,000 or so.
So you started with $8,000 and you turned it into what?
Like over $850,000.
And how long?
Just a couple of years.
A couple of years, you took $8,000, turned it into over $800,000 by simply sitting behind your computer and tapping on your keyboard.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess we can imagine the damage that is done by these guys in the suits and gals in the suits on television. They get away with murder.
It's crazy.
And the SEC came after you.
The billions of dollars that have been stolen
legally
right. Over the years, and then
the SEC turns their attention. So the SEC, and this of course was under former Chairman Arthur Levitt, who was a guest here on this program in November. Former Chairman Arthur Levitt and Richard Walker, the enforcement chief, they came after you guns a-blazing, and they accused you of hyping stocks, which is, as we just said, is no different from the professional suited hypesters on mm-hmm. television. And they forced you to disgorge your profits.
Yeah, and every single day, like when I wake up in the morning, it's one of the things that I think about, that I never should have disgorged my profits. But then I realized that it was the smartest thing to do, settling out of court without admitting or denying allegations, because if I went to court to try to clear my name, I would have been in court for years and spent millions of dollars in legal fees. It just wouldn't have been worth it at all.
Right. So the SEC made you disgorge how much?
$285,000.
Out of over $800,000?
Yeah.
So they let you keep some money?
Yeah.
Over $500,000?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and why do you think that happened?
I don't know. You can use your own imagination as to why they were...
I don't have one anymore. I talk about Wall Street, but... I think perhaps they wanted to send a message, right? They wanted to come after you and let people just like you, who usually are allowed to exercise their free speech, whether it's you know, on the street corner or in the television or on the internet, to be careful about what you say, right? Because Henry Blodgett from Merrill Lynch said Amazon.com is going to go up to $400, and it was at what, $200?
Yeah,
that was okay, right?
That's perfectly fine for Henry Blodgett to do that,
right?
And they didn't really care at the time. I mean, now they're starting to look at these people. I don't know if they're ever going to do anything.
Well, they are starting to do something, only because
the public outrage is
right. And plus, a lot of these politicians lost their own money in the market. But of course, the most recent story is an analyst from, I believe it's Morgan Stanley, Holly Becker. I think it's Morgan Stanley. I could be wrong, but her fiance at the time placed a bearish bet, a bet that stock would go down, Amazon. He placed a bearish Amazon bet the day before Holly Becker, the analyst, came out with a downgrade on the stock. So, of course, they came after... Of course, this was so famous, so popular at the time, that they would come after... Well, you were 14 at the time, right?
Yeah.
They came after a 14-year-old kid, but they allowed everything else to go unabated. Now, you've always loved stocks, John,
mm-hmm.
And you have a website. I know... We spoke this weekend, and you said that you weren't interested in promoting it.
Yeah.
Because what was the reason you said?
I really hate when you had guests on the air before with your other radio show years ago, and mainly they just want to go on and promote their website. I'm interested in just talking about the truth about Wall Street and not promoting my business in any way.
That's cool. But why don't you tell people about your website?
I run a website, www.labed.biz. And basically, we profile companies. Well, I profile companies on a daily basis that I believe have true investment potential, either to the upside, or companies that I believe are scams and will crash down to zero and are good shorts.
Right. So, and your name is spelled LEBED.
Yes.
And like you said, you're not interested in promoting, but just in case people want to go and do a little research on you, What are you going to do, Jonathan? You going to work on Wall Street?
Absolutely not. I have no interest in working on Wall Street. I'd like to, I don't know, maybe I'd like to have my own public company one day, but I really don't see that either right now, because right now the way things are, the lawyers and the accountants run public companies, not the CEOs of the companies. The lawyers and accountants run everything, and I just don't like the way things are right now, and I really don't know where I'm going to be in the future.
But right now, you say you don't want to, but a few years ago when we met, you were kind of interested in perhaps being courted by Wall Street. Remember that?
What do you mean?
Remember we were talking, oh boy, you know, they're thinking, hey, if this guy could take this much money on the internet, how much could he do, you know, on television?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But I don't want to lower myself to that level.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Anything you'd like to tell anyone who's interested in the stock market or stock investing about what they should be wary of or what they should pay attention of?
Well, you should be aware of that. You should always just try to seek the truth yourself and not listen to anybody else. There's basically today three major media companies that control the way that people think about everything. And the majority of the people out there are stupid and listen to these media companies about everything. But I believe that you have to be smart and research companies yourself and make your own investment decisions without taking any advice from anybody else. Like on my website, I provide information on companies that I believe have investment potential, but that's only for a starting point for investors, because I believe that I have discovered companies that have huge potential, but it's only so that investors can read what I have to say and use it to get started in doing their own research about the companies and doing their own, making their own investment decisions.
Right. So even if investors visited your website, you would tell them to be beware, right? Buyer
exactly.
Beware. Right. That's nice, Jonathan. I want to thank you for joining us today and sharing your story with.
It's so great that you're finally back on the air.
I appreciate that.
I know that you wouldn't be silent.
Yeah, it's tough for me to be silent.
Yeah.
Well, listen, thanks again, and have a great future, because you're starting off on the right foot, you know, fighting injustice, and that's what this station's all about. So thanks for joining
us. Thank you, Ray. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.